All right, so it's 8:37 a.m. Dr. Cornwell, the meeting is yours.
All right. Welcome, everyone, especially those students from Brookline. Glad to have you, and hope that you find this somewhat educational. I'll bring this meeting of the Arizona State Board of Physical Therapy General Session Meeting, November 24th, 2020, to session. Okay. Let's begin with a roll call.
Mr. Clinton.
Here.
Dr. Cornwell.
Here.
Ms. Demick.
Present.
Mr. Greer.
Here.
Ms. Hunter. Ms. Hunter.
Oh, here. Sorry, I couldn't hear you.
Thank you. Dr. Bastillo.
Here.
And Dr. King.
Here.
We have a quorum. Everyone is present.
Okay, so first item on the agenda is to review and approve of draft minutes. Item 2A, October 27, 2020, regular session meeting.
It's Kelly. I just like to make a note that I'm listed as present and voting in the minutes, and I was not in attendance for this meeting. So if you could amend to mark me as absent and then remove all of my votes, that would be great.
You weren't present at all?
No, that was our grand opening here at the hospital, and I was not there at all.
Okay, perfect. I'll remove all of yours.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
All right, are there any changes, additions, corrections other than that one?
I move to accept the minutes as presented with Kelly King's correction.
Second.
Okay, we have
I'm sorry, Mark.
No, we have a motion. We have a second.
Moved and seconded to accept the regular meeting minutes for the October 27, 2020 meeting. Mr. Clinton.
Yes.
Dr. Cornwell.
Yes.
Ms. Remick.
Abstain.
Mr. Greer.
Yes.
Ms. Hunter.
Yes.
Dr. Bastillo.
Yes.
Dr. King.
Yes.
Thank you. Nice.
Veronica, I need you to put yourself on mute, please. I just can see background in your noise. Thank you. Thank you.
Okay. Review and approve draft minutes of October 27, 2020, executive session A.
I move to accept as printed.
The minutes all show that Dr. King was present, so they need to mark her as absent.
We will make those corrections.
Second.
It's been moved and seconded to accept the October 27, 2020 executive session meeting A. Mr. Clinton.
Yes.
Dr. Cornwell.
Yes.
Ms. Remick.
Stay.
Mr. Greer.
Yes.
I always want to make you a doctor. Ms. Hunter.
Yes.
Dr. Bastillo.
Yes.
Dr. King.
Yes.
Motion passes.
All right. Review and approve draft minutes, October 27, 2020, executive session B.
And we'll pick Ms. King out of these minutes as well.
I move to accept the executive session B for October 27th, 2020, with the exception with Kelly King being present.
Second.
Moved and seconded to accept the October 27, 2020 executive session meeting minute B. Mr. Clinton?
Yes.
Dr. Cornwell?
Yes.
Ms. Leonard?
Abstain.
Yes.
Ms. Hunter?
Yes.
Dr. Basile?
Yes.
Dr. King?
Yes.
Motion passes.
All right. Moving to item, agenda item 3A1, review, consideration, and approval of applications for physical therapists with documentation related to disclosure on personal information section of the application. Abigail Niemeyer. Discussion, questions, motion?
This is Mr. Greer. I move that we approve licensure after passage of the exam.
Second.
Been moved and seconded to license Abigail Niemeyer following a successful completion of her applications and physical exams. Mr. Clinton?
Yes.
Dr. Cornwell?
Yes.
Ms. Remick?
Yes.
Mr. Greer?
Yes.
Ms. Hunter?
Yes.
Dr. Basile?
Yes.
Dr. King?
Yes.
Motion passes.
Thank you.
Okay. Item 3A2, review, consideration, and approval of applications for physical therapist assistant certification on receipt of passing scores of the NZPT AZ Law and final transcript. Elena Bondarenko.
I make a motion that we approve the application for PTA certification upon receipt of the passing score and final transcript for Elena Bondarenko.
Second.
Seconded to certify Elena Bondarenko upon receipt of passing scores on the NZPE and AZ Law and final transcript. Mr. Clinton?
Yes.
Dr. Cornwell?
Yes.
Ms. Remick?
Yes.
Mr. Greer?
Yes.
Ms. Hunter?
Yes.
Dr. Basile?
Yes.
Dr. King?
Yes.
Motion passes.
Thank you.
Next item is Nicholas Novak.
I make a motion that we approve the application for PTA assistant certification pending the passing scores and transcripts for Nicholas Novak.
Second.
Moved and seconded to certify Nicholas Novak upon receipt of passing scores on the MBTE, AC Law, and final transcript. Mr. Clinton?
Yes.
Dr. Cornwell?
Yes.
Ms. Remick?
Yes.
Mr. Greer?
Yes.
Ms. Hunter?
Yes.
Dr. Basile?
Yes.
Dr. King?
Yes.
Motion passes.
Thank you.
Next is Lindsay Olick.
I move that we accept Ms. Olick for licensure pending passing of the exams and final transcripts.
Second.
Been moved and seconded to certify Lindsay Olick upon receipt of passing scores on the MBTE, AZ Law, and final transcripts. Mr. Clinton?
Yes.
Dr. Cornwell?
Yes.
Ms. Remick?
Yes.
Mr. Greer?
Yes.
Ms. Hunter?
Yes.
Dr. Basile?
Yes.
Dr. King?
Yes.
Motion passes.
All right. The next intersection is Sydney Westman.
I make a motion that we accept the application approval of her PTA certification upon passing the jurisprudence exam and receiving her final transcript.
Second.
Been moved in second to certify Sydney Westman upon receipt of passing scores on the MPTE, AZ Law, and final transcripts. Mr. Clinton?
Yes.
Dr. Cornwell?
Yes.
Ms. Remick?
Yes.
Mr. Greer?
Yes.
Ms. Hunter?
Yes.
Dr. Basile?
Yes.
Dr. King?
Yes.
Motion passes.
All right. Next item on the agenda is review of and possible action on following applications for physical therapist licensure, foreign educated graduates of programs not U.S. accredited, review of education, determination of supervised clinical practice period, and possible licensure, Christopher De La Rosa. It appears that Christopher has worked in the United States.
Yes, so, he does have U.S. experience.
Pardon?
Yes, I was just confirming he does have U.S. experience.
Yes, thank you. Yeah. I move that we approve him to take the jurisprudence exam and be licensed upon receiving a passing score.
King, second.
Been moved and seconded to license Christopher De La Rosa following completion of the jurisprudence exam. And I'm sorry, I missed the second half of that, Mark.
Oh, and be licensed upon receiving a passing score.
All he needs is the jurisprudence exam?
Correct.
Okay. So the motion before you is to license Christopher De La Rosa following successful passage of the AZ Law exam. Mr. Clinton?
Yes.
Dr. Cornwell?
Yes.
Ms. Remick?
Yes.
Mr. Greer?
Yes.
Ms. Hunter?
Yes.
Dr. Basile?
Yes.
Dr. King?
Yes.
Motion passes.
Next item, Suchi Desai.
Yes, Suchi Desai is also substantially equivalent, but she does not have any U.S. experience.
Okay. In that case, I move that secure a 6-month supervised clinical practice period with approval of facility and supervisor by the board, and able to take the jurisprudence exam.
Thank you.
Second.
Been moved and seconded to set up a 6-month SCPP and license Ms. Suchi Desai following successful completion of the SCPP, appropriate application, and passage of all exams. Mr. Clinton?
Yes.
Dr. Cornwell?
Yes.
Ms. Remick?
Yes.
Mr. Greer?
Yes.
Ms. Hunter?
Yes.
Dr. Castillo?
Yes.
Dr. King?
Yes.
Motion passes.
Thank you.
All right. Agenda item 3, A4, review of action on application for physical therapist assistant licensure from applicant requesting ADA accommodations. Rayanne Rivera.
I had a difficult time. For some reason, my computer wouldn't download all of the documents. What is she requesting?
She is requesting time and a half.
Okay.
I move that we accept the ADA accommodations for Ms. Rivera at time and a half.
Second.
Been moved and seconded to approve Ms. Rhianne Rivera's request for ADA accommodations of 1.5 minutes. Mr. Clinton?
Yes.
Dr. Cornwell?
Yes.
Ms. Remick?
Yes.
Mr. Greer?
Yes.
Ms. Hunter?
Yes.
Dr. Basile?
Yes.
Dr. King?
Yes.
Motion passes.
Thank you.
Okay, moving to agenda item 4A, number one, case number 19-62, Pamela Pino, physical therapist. All of these next ones are initial review.
I'm here, Pamela Pino.
Thank you, Ms. Pino is here. Is the patient CA present? No.
Yes, she is.
Oh, I'm sorry. Thank you. So we have both Ms. Pino and patient CA present. Ms. Richardson, would you give us a summary, please?
Yes. Good morning, members of the board. This complaint 1962 was submitted by patient CA. Patient CA alleges Ms. Pino caused an increase in her pain as a result of physical therapy. This case is for your review.
Okay. Do any board members have questions that to help them make a decision on this initial review?
Dr. Cornwell, would you like Ms. Pino to give an opening statement?
That would be a great idea. Thank you. Pamela?
I'm here. Hi, I'm a physical therapist and I graduated from NAU. And in regards to the complaint against me, I have first to speak of my care team. So if I was negligent in carrying out my plan of care, I would take full responsibility and stick to whatever decision the board makes. But I feel in this case, I stand by my treatment approach. And every manual treatment provided for this patient was no greater than a grade 2 cervical joint mobilization. And initially, this patient came to me with a neck pain, which she attributed to a chiropractic treatment before PT. So even though I am certified in spinal manipulation, I did not choose to do any high velocity, low amplitude thrust techniques because of a response to that specific treatment. So so every mobilization technique was just that, the mobilization, no more than a grade 2. And during treatment, she gave me no indication that she was in, quote, in her words in the complaint, excruciating pain. So after treatment, she completed the rest of her plan of care with her other exercises and modalities. And then she made additional appointments. She left the clinic. She came back within 30 minutes to pick up a TheraBand, which she left behind in the clinic. And again, she gave me no indication that she was in a lot of pain. She was engaging in conversations with myself and the secretary at the time of treatment, during, after treatment. So I don't think that my treatment approach would cause that significant amount of pain that she is complaining about. If you have any questions for me, feel free to ask.
So question.
Ms. Pino, this is Peggy Hunter. I'm just curious, before you did this treatment with your patient, did you actually explain to her what you were going to do?
Yes, so, she came up the table and told her what I'm going to do. And she followed instructions well. And just educating her on if there's any increase in symptoms, please let me know. I'll modify the treatment. Or I can just not continue on with the treatment. But everything went fine. I thought the treatment went well and her response to it was fine. And so I did educate her on the specific technique that I used.
All right. Thank you so much.
Hi, this is Karen Bustillo. My question on your upper cervical ligament testing, it looks like that you performed those tests. Typically, those tests require firmer pressure. when you're testing those ligaments. So did you explain that, that during that time you might have to use additional pressure for that type of testing prior to treatment?
Yeah, so on her, so the specific technique that I used was on her second treatment, and during the evaluation, I did all my special tests, and yes, it requires a little bit more pressure, but I felt all of those were negative, and again, just explaining what I'm doing, what the tests are going to indicate if it was positive or negative, and she did handle that fine. I don't know why this specific mobilization caused that significant amount of pain.
Ms. Pino, this is Peggy Hunter again. The investigative report has shown some significant documentation problems. Could you address that, please?
Yeah, she went over my documentation and she told me that my assessment could have been a little bit more detailed just in regards to some of the treatment approaches. So I did address the thoracic spine as well. And she told me that that would have been a good idea to indicate the need for other exercises that were not specific to her neck. So I felt like just with anybody who has neck pain that we have to address the thoracic spine and improve active spinal mobility to reduce muscle tension around the cervical paraspinal scapular muscles. And so that's why I did all the treatment options that I did for those two treatments.
Have you had any continuing education courses in documentation lately?
No, not lately.
When was the last time, if you don't mind me asking?
Oh, it's probably been a few years.
All right. Thank you, ma'am.
Yeah.
So this is Dr. Cornwell, as a follow-up to that, would it be correct to say that you did do a thorough examination, but you didn't document everything?
I did document that all the special tests were negative, and that her symptoms were muscle and skeletal in nature, and that PT would be beneficial. But I think through the medical investigator, when I was speaking to her, that there was just maybe some, my goals could have been more measurable or scalable or more functional. And I think that was one of the specific points that she mentioned to me.
Okay, thank you.
Mm-hmm. Ms. Pino, it's Kelly King. Just a quick question and just staying along these same lines for documentation. The investigator found some things that you could have done more thorough. I'm noticing that the patient's primary complaint was neck pain, and yet I'm not seeing documentation of a pain level prior to treatment and then after treatment. Can you just help us understand, when you were looking at documentation and thorough evaluation, how would you describe the thoroughness of your evaluation regarding the patient's pain level prior to treatment versus after?
I think what I wrote in my subjective portion of the after her initial evaluation was that there was no change in symptoms, and that her so it was more descriptive rather versus a specific number out of 0 out of 10. So all that information is in there, but more it's just descriptive of what she told me versus a specific reading number.
Is that your typical practice to just indicate in the subjective what the patient describes as pain versus actually doing objective measurements for pain levels?
No, not particularly. Sometimes it'll be a little bit more descriptive if they're just vague with their responses. But I'll always ask before treatments, you know, how did the previous treatment, how did you feel after the previous treatment? Are you having an increase in symptoms? Is it better, worse, same? And if you can give me a number, sometimes they said they can't, it's just very vague or diffuse, or they don't give me a specific number, and then that's when I don't put a specific number on.
Ms. Pino, this is Peggy Hunter again. Can you tell me what your procedure is and how you obtain the patient's informed consent to receive treatment?
I'm sorry, can you ask that question again?
So when you're going to perform a treatment on the patient, how do you get informed consent and do you document it?
Through our intake questionnaires, there are several consent forms that the patient has to sign off on. And with any, if I was going to do dream healing, then there's a consent form for that. And just a verbal consent and also patient that is in their clinic.
Okay, thank you.
Any other questions? I understand the complainant, CA, is present. Would she like to make a statement? She doesn't have to, but would she like to?
Ms. CA, did you want to give any statements or tell anything to the board?
I guess not.
Karen, can you tell if she's on mute or anything?
I cannot. Let me see. Does anybody see her on their screen?
I'm not seeing her now on the list of attendees.
Okay.
Unless it's just a number, but I'm not sure. There's two numbers that don't identify the person.
Okay, then since the board, there's no more questions the board has, I'd be willing to entertain a motion.
Just for conversation, I think I would approve a documentation course. I think it would benefit Ms. Pino, but I'm looking on the lines of a non-discipline order.
I am too, Peggy. This is Ms. Remick.
Would either of you like to make that a motion?
Peggy, I'll defer to you.
This is Peggy. I make a motion to have Ms. Pino do a documentation course approved by the board. 6 hours and for this to be a non-discipline order.
Karen, I had a little trouble hearing you. Could you say that again, please? I'll second the motion.
How long does she have to complete the documentation course?
I would say in these times, we give her 6 months. Do you think that's long enough?
Yes.
Karen, I'm having difficulty hearing you. I'm sorry.
Why that is. My question is, can she take these courses online?
In these days and times, yes.
All right. And Ms. Remick, you seconded?
I do, yes.
Okay, so the motion, just for clarification, is a non-disciplinary order to include 6 hours of documentation that can be performed online and must be completed within 6 months.
Okay.
All right. You're in discussion.
All right. Any further discussion or even amendments? Mm-mm. Let's call the question, Karen.
Okay. The motion before you for complaint 1962, Ms. Pamela Pino, is for a non-disciplinary order to include 6 hours of documentation that must be completed within 6 months. The course can be taken online. Mr. Clinton?
Yes.
Dr. Cornwall?
Yes.
Ms. Remick?
Yes.
Mr. Greer?
Yes.
Ms. Hunter?
These would first have to be approved by the board, correct?
Yes.
I say yes, then.
Thank you. Dr. Leo?
Yes.
Dr. King?
Yes.
The motion passes. Ms. Pino, we'll be sending you something and be in contact with you regarding the non-disciplinary order.
Okay. Well, thank you so much. Have a good day.
Bye.
Bye.
All right. Next on the agenda is case number 19-63. Jeffrey Gale, physical therapist.
1963 was open following notification of an adverse action taken by the Texas Board of Physical Therapy. They issued a board order suspending his license for 30 days and required him to pay fines. The Texas Board asserted that Mr. Gale violated section 453.51 of the Texas Physical Therapy Practice Act and Chapter 322.4B17 of the board rules when he abandoned his patients. This case is for your review.
And just in case, is Mr. Gale present? Okay. Discussion, I'll entertain a motion.
It's Kelly. As a board, what are our obligations, or what is the expectation if someone, a licensee, is suspended in another state? Is it just that we are aware of it? Is there an expectation that we take action on it as well?
Mr. Harris, you could probably address that a little bit better.
I'd be happy to, Dr. Cornwell, members of the board. I do think that you have the jurisdiction and the ability to take whatever action you deem appropriate based upon the conduct that was committed in Texas. I'm not sure what you've done in these type of cases in the past. So I'll kind of defer to more of the veteran board members and Karen to perhaps provide guidance in that area. But you do have the ability to take any of the investigatory options that are available to you, and those would include, you know, disposing of it today with either a dismissal or non-disciplinary action, or referring it to an informal hearing if you want to meet with the licensee. And then you'd have all of your disciplinary options available to you at that meeting as well. I hope that was helpful. If you have any questions, I'll do my best to try to answer them.
Thank you.
Kelly, the way I tend to approach these is that if the infraction in another state is likely to spill over because they have a license in Arizona or they're practicing in Arizona, then I would consider doing something. But I don't. With this one, he's got a license in Arizona, but he's not practicing in Arizona.
Yeah.
So I don't see a a risk to the citizens of Arizona because of it. And I'll make a motion that we take no action.
Second.
The motion would be to dismiss. This is an innocent review.
Yeah, I would agree.
So this is Peggy. I'm just curious. He has a license in Arizona. Did he report this?
Listen, I'm going to ask you for a minute. Dr. Carroll, I need you to give the appropriate motion, and I need an appropriate second. The motion needs to be to dismiss, not to take action.
Okay, I move to dismiss.
Second.
Ms. Hunter, go ahead.
Okay, I'm sorry. So he has a license in Arizona. I'm assuming he renewed his license. Did he have to report this to the board on the licensing application?
Yes. When did he receive it? It depends on when we received the notification.
I still can't hear you, Karen. I'm sorry. I don't know if anybody else is having difficulty.
Karen, I think it sounds like your microphone is really, really muffled, like it's got something over it. And so it's really difficult to make out what you're saying.
Is that better?
No. That's better.
That's better. Okay.
I moved.
Nope, not better.
Nope, that's not better. I'm so sorry.
Every month, I do not know.
I wonder if you used a phone, if it would be better versus your computer audio. I don't know. It's just a thought.
Do you have a piece of paper and a pencil you can write down, hold up to the screen? Just trying to be helpful.
Karen, it's your backdrop.
Okay, let me turn that off then.
Your backdrop is slowing down your audio transmission.
Okay. Oh, there you go.
Let's turn that off.
Bye, Grand Canyon.
Bye, Grand Canyon. There we go. Can you hear me better now?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Oh, thank you, Judy.
Good call, Judy.
Good call, Judy. I'm sorry. Now I lost track of where we are. We had a motion to dismiss complaint 1963.
Yeah, Peggy raised the question, did he disclose it on his renewal? The board order in Texas has an effective date of October 11th, so it's after the renewal.
After the renewal.
The effective date was October 11, 2019, which is prior to the renewal. So I believe we received this notification through the national database prior to his renewal.
So did he mention this or did he verify this on his renewal licensure for Arizona or not?
Monica, can you put this up, please?
I am looking as we speak.
All right, thank you, ma'am.
No problem. License suspended in Texas last year for 30 days. Information sent to the board. He said yes.
Okay, so he didn't notify
you.
Yes, he did notify us.
All right, any other questions or comments? We have a motion, we have a second. Are you ready to vote?
Yes.
The motion before you for complaint 1963, Mr. Jeffrey Gale, physical therapist, is to dismiss this complaint. Mr. Clinton?
Yes.
Dr. Cornwell?
Yes.
Ms. Remick?
Yes.
Mr. Greer?
Yes.
Ms. Hunter?
Yes.
Dr. Bustillo?
Yes.
Dr. King?
Yes.
Motion passes.
All right. Next is Randy Whittle.
Yes, complaint 20-01 was opened based on a patient complaint. Patient MR alleged that Mr. Whittle caused bruising as a result of physical therapy, and he did not inform her to expect bruising. This case is for your review.
And is Mr. Whittle here? How about the complainant, M.R.? Okay. All right, so what are the board's thoughts at the moment? Entertain a motion.
It's Kelly. So we can discuss more. I would make a motion to dismiss.
Second.
Okay.
This is Peggy. I think there's once again, there's a lot of documentation problems with this. I mean, bruising. I mean, I've done soft tissue massage, etc., and pretty deep, and have told the patient, you know, you may experience some bruising, and it's usually sometimes the medication they're on, etc. So I think that's to be expected sometimes, but his documentation is not good. He's left out a lot of things, and I would be more in favor of a documentation course and non-discipline.
Any other comments? All right, we have a motion and we have a second. So if you're thinking about something other than that, we'll then the appropriate thing would be to defeat the current motion and then propose another. So any other discussion in order to get the information you need to vote?
Hearing none. The motion before you is to dismiss complaint 2001, Mr. Randall Whittle, physical therapist. Mr. Clinton?
No.
Dr. Cornwall?
No.
Ms. Remick?
No.
Mr. Greer? Mr.
No.
Greer? Thank you.
No.
Thank you. Ms. Hunter?
No.
Dr. Bustillo?
Yes.
Dr. King?
Yes.
The motion fails.
Peggy, if you'd like to make a second motion.
I will. The board's consideration, I make a motion for Mr. Whittle to take a 6-hour documentation course within 6 months and have this be non-discipline.
Taken online.
And maybe taken online with approval from the board staff.
We need a second.
Second.
All right, now discussion about this current motion for a non-disciplinary order of continuing education.
Hearing none, complaint 2001, Mr. Randall Whittle, physical therapist, the motion is to issue a non-disciplinary order for 6 hours of documentation to be completed in 6 months with the courses being able to be performed online. Mr. Clinton?
Yes.
Dr. Cornwall?
Yes.
Ms. Remick?
Yes.
Mr. Greer?
Yes.
Ms. Hunter?
Yes.
Dr. Bustillo?
Yes.
Dr. King?
Yes.
The motion passes.
All right, so the next one is case number 20-02, Lindsay Hoover, physical therapist.
Complaint 2002 was opened after receiving a complaint from patient CE. CE alleged that Ms. Hoover caused ongoing pain and injury as a result of dry needling in the course of physical therapy treatment. This case is for your review.
Monica, if I could just clarify, I believe it says in the investigative report she's not currently licensed in Arizona.
Let me check. Hold on.
Thank you.
I believe she should be placed, if she did not renew as it says, she'll be inactive, which still gives you jurisdiction to oversee the case. But if she did not renew, her official status will be inactive. But we'll let Ms. Crowley
confirm.
That is correct. She is inactive, administratively suspended, so she has not renewed.
Okay. And she is not present.
Yes, correct? She is.
Oh, she is.
I'm present. This is Lindsay.
Oh, thank you very much.
And I do believe that the patient CE was planning to participate. I'm not sure she's still on the call. Yeah, it looks like she's still on the call as well.
Okay. So this is an initial review. Let's start with does any board members have any? Oh, Lindsay, would you like to make a statement?
I just would like the board to know that, at the time I felt that I did the examination that was required to perform the dry needling based on the findings that I found. I know in the investigative report it mentions not clearing the neurosigns, but I do feel that based on what I was presented with and at the time of the evaluation, there was no significant findings for that, or there was nothing to warrant a further neuro investigation at that time. Furthermore, additional testing that the patient had received in the emergency room never disclosed the neuro problem, so there was nothing that would have been missed in that case scenario. I performed the dry needling in a way that was up to the pars of the course that I had recently taken, and I feel that I followed all the guidelines to ensure safety in that procedure.
Okay. So did you do a neuro examination, or you chose not to because there was nothing else?
Based on the subjective complaints and what I was seeing in my office, I didn't do a thorough neuro investigation. Also, at the time, the diagnosis from the doctor was for TMJ. With my experience at the time, it didn't dawn on me that was a necessary approach to look at.
Okay. So, all right. Can you give us a brief overview of your work history since you graduated from physical therapy school?
Yes, I graduated from AT Still in July of 2018. I began working in September of 2018. I worked for Vibrant Care Rehabilitation through that time for about 6 months. At that point, I was traveling to a bunch of different clinics in the area. I was still trying to kind of get my bearings as far as documentation was concerned. I was trying to do different point of service versus handwriting and catching up because I was not always at the same clinic from one day to the next. But my main experience was outpatient ortho primarily.
Okay, thank you. Do anyone else have questions for Lindsay?
Ms. Lindsay, this is Peggy Hunter. Who, when you gave the patient dry needling, who took out the needles?
I did.
Okay, thank you.
Ms. Hoover, it's Kelly King. Just a quick question. I was reading over your statement, and I think I noted that you had completed the certification CEU in the same month that this treatment happened. How many patients were you or had you utilized dry needling intervention with since your CEU March 17th?
Kelly, you'll have to excuse me. It's been almost 2 years. No. Yeah. No. It'll be almost 2 years. I don't recall how many in that time period. Unfortunately, I moved to California in August and I haven't dry needled in the that since then, or August of 2019. I cannot give an honest answer on how many I would have done it on at that time period.
And I apologize. I certainly do not expect you to remember numbers. I guess I'm asking, did you feel like the information you received in the certification course and the certification process and then actually using the intervention and treatment felt competent in that intervention?
Yes, I feel at that time especially, I was extremely fresh on the procedure, on exactly what to look for, exactly what to palpate for. Even in, as far as I selected a smaller gauge of a needle just due based on my patient's irritability to try to prevent all, take as much steps as possible for her safety. In that case, based on her response, I didn't go very deep with the initial needle just for her tolerance and mm-hmm. I tried to take all the steps possible to make sure everything was safe.
Thank you.
This is Karen Bustillo, and you had practiced this particular technique in your training program that you used with the patient?
Yes, Ms. Dr. Bustillo. We had three days of repetitive application of this procedure on multiple different course participants.
It's Kelly King again. Can you think of any other reason that the patient's response would have been so extremely exaggerated after one treatment?
Honestly, that would have been a very abnormal response if it was that severe. Based on, like I said, where I was and how deep I went, I can't think of why that would have caused such a severe response. Unfortunately, she did not return. I wasn't able to do any further follow-up to, you know, rule out anything else as to why that could have been. And I understand if, you know, she didn't feel comfortable. I totally understand that. But unfortunately, without seeing her again, it's hard to make an assumption as to why that response was elicited.
Thank you.
Any other questions?
Mm-mm.
Okay. since the complainant CE is here, would she like to make a statement?
Yes, I'm here. I went through a lot over that last 5 months, especially the 5 months that the initial procedure happened, and I continue still to this day. I'm experiencing, depending on how I move my left side, I will have numbness that comes up to my face. Intermittently, this will happen occasionally. I have to be careful what I lift or how my movement is on that side, but I went through many months trying to get my head to turn to the left. It was very challenging. I don't wish no ill will on Lindsay, but I think she was very unprofessional in her in everything in deciding to do this. I mean, this is my first appointment with her. and to recommend a procedure so that this day one, I just didn't think it, she should have gotten a no more and gotten a no, you know, my movements of, you know, what I needed, I guess. It went in there mostly just for TMJ and a little bit of stiffness in the neck, and to have a procedure recommended right away like that, it should have been something where after a couple appointments, maybe gone over and said, maybe give me some information to take home, read over, and to know a little bit more about it, and maybe benefits, or not benefits, give me a little bit more of a choice than to have it being recommended after I'm laying face down and she's rubbing my neck. And then I'm face down, I'm very relaxed. Recommend something that would be very beneficial for me. I trusted in her, and it was at a point where there's one point I wanted to lift my head up, but I was so relaxed I couldn't, and she was trying to explain stuff, and I didn't sign anything prior to it being done. It was all done afterwards. And even afterwards, I was in such pain, I could not focus on whatever I was writing, signing. After I signed it and it was done, I told her I was in pain. They tried to give me heating and everything, and it was nauseated. My head was, in a fog. I felt awful. I should not have left in the condition I was, but I sat in my vehicle for a long time. But even after the procedure and she was, you know, setting me all up with the heat, she walked away saying, well, I'm to my next victim. And I think that was very unprofessional to say something like that, given the condition I was in when she left. When she left me, I went through a lot. I made a call back to the office, and I talked to the receptionist, and I did talk to Lindsay just once. And so the time, I talked literally just to the receptionist in tears every time I was giving her an update, wishing that Lindsay never recommended this, and because I had so much struggle. And I had to go through so much therapy and to try to get myself where I could just do my everyday stuff, you know? But I never received anything back from Lindsay. I mean, not even, hey, how you doing? Call me on her own, you know. That kind of hurts me to think that I went through so much and I never heard back from her. And I made all the calls to try to talk to her. And that was, it's been a very long road, a road that I have been on for quite a while now. And I just, it just saddens me, you know, that, you know, somebody can not have, you know, that much, not a compassion to go see, check on you, you know, and see how you're doing. And I don't know, but it, like I said, it's been very hard, but I'm a long way. So I'm glad for that. I'm glad I've come, you know, I'm able to at least turn my head when I'm driving, and now when I can do things I haven't been able to do for a while. So
thank you. Are any other questions for I have one or two questions for you. In your statement, you list a number of different symptoms that you've had over the last 5 months, and they're quite varied. Do you recall if you had any of those to a lesser degree before you saw the physical therapist?
No.
Okay. Lindsay, there's one statement in the tape where you talk about medical history, and you mentioned nausea and tingling in the left arm. That was based on the initial evaluation.
I believe in the subjective portion, yes.
Okay. So do you recall CA telling you that she had, tingling or numbness that would radiate into the left arm? She had nausea on occasion?
I believe there's a statement in my subjective that mentions an acute sinus infection, which I believe is where those statements were covered. Again, off the top of my head, I don't recall exactly what was said at that time, just due to how long it's been. I'm sorry.
Okay. All right. And you you mentioned that your caseload at the time was anywhere from 15 to 18 patients. Did you feel rushed at all on the day that you saw CA?
Not during the initial evaluation. Obviously in an outpatient setting there is a need to be maintained, but during her treatment it was one-on-one. I didn't feel like I was, having to multitask or whatever during that time period. And yes, I did have to go to another patient after everything was done, and I left her in a safe position with a heating pack. I was treating a lot of vertigo at the time, so unfortunately that wasn't something I could delegate to AIDS. So I was doing the best I could with that time management.
Okay. You mentioned that you considered cervogenic dizziness, but then decided not to go down that road. Can you elaborate a little bit?
I don't believe she was complaining of dizziness at the time of the evaluation.
Why would you have mentioned it in the tape?
She had mentioned dizziness in the subjective form. There's the medical history form. There's a mark for, I believe, it's dizziness and fainting.
Okay. So what were the follow-up questions you had looking at that check mark?
I'm not 100% sure at this time what it was asked during that subjective portion. I don't have access to the forms or anything anymore. So this is all coming from memory, but I would have just asked if she was currently experiencing any of that, which again is where I believe I cover it with the acute infection.
All right, thank you.
I have a question from Miss E, if you don't mind. Miss E, this is Peggy Hunter. You're feeling better, which is good. Can you tell me some of the treatments that you've received that have made you feel better?
I went to the Mayo Clinic, and there is where I went for physical therapy. I did the heat around my neck, and she had me do different exercises. It was very slow, but I also had to go to the pain management because it was at a point where, and I also took neurology too, neurology sent me to physical therapy, and the physical therapy and neurology also sent me to pain management. They couldn't touch my neck, yet it was just so sensitive to touch, so they gave me gabapentin as well. And I had to go on that for a while to help with the nerve part of my neck. It was between physical therapy at the Mayo Clinic and, with the help of having pain management with the gabapentin. Now, they didn't want to put any needles over there because, the help with pain, because that wouldn't work. But I also had cream, I can't remember the name. I had to put a cream on my neck for pain and I did physical therapy. through the Mayo Clinic. It was just different exercises that were done over time, a period of time, get, you know, more I can do, the more I, you know, but there's so many setbacks because once it got aggravated, I couldn't do anything. I had to give it several days to rest, and then I could do a few more, go back to exercising. So, I don't know if that answered all your questions.
Sort of. I wanted some more specific exercises, but did you have any type of electrical stim or ultrasound or anything like that?
They did do the where they put electrical on my neck. You know, but I can't remember you caught those. But yeah, I've had that done on my neck as well.
All right, thank
you. Any other questions? How about a motion? All right, hearing none, I'll move that we move this to an informal hearing.
Is there a second?
Okay. Mark, it's Kelly. After you're finished with the motion, I just want to talk through a couple of things.
We do not have a second.
Would it be for me to withdraw this motion?
Well, it just fails for lack of a second. So you're back at square one.
Well, I guess my confusion is that if she's got questions and once she gets the questions answered, she might serve as a second. And I didn't know if we could start over from there or what.
Right now, you're just a second.
You know, for discussion, I'll second Mark's motion.
Okay. So it's been moved and seconded to move us to an informal hearing. You're in discussion.
Okay. Kelly?
Here's where I'm, like, this is kind of where I'm struggling with this. While we are all held to the clinical decisions that we make each and every day with each and every patient, given the information we have with the patients, it is not at all possible to anticipate every patient's specific response to our treatment, given a variety of different reasons. Very unfortunate outcome or path that this patient has gone through since the day that she recalls her symptoms becoming so aggravated. Seems extremely outside of the norm for a reaction to a treatment, to an intervention such as this. So the dilemma in my head is it an unfortunate, unforeseen response to a treatment, or was it negligence on the part of the therapist? And then moving forward with actions based on her decisions and treatment being not within the, you know, what we'd anticipate given what she had to go on. So that's where I'm struggling is when a patient responds to a treatment that is way outside of anything anyone would ever anticipate, does it always come back to the therapist having made a poor decision? Or is it one of those things that, you know, like reflex sympathetic dystrophy, like the things that we can't anticipate necessarily? Am I making sense?
I agree with you, Kelly. I also have, with all due respect to the patient, I think the therapist was professional. She was evaluating the patient. She was trying to do a plan of care that would best serve her. And the adverse reaction to dry needling, you know, in my mind, I may be incorrect, that could have happened with soft tissue massage. It could have happened with electrical stim. It could happen with anything. Sometimes you just don't have 20/20 as what's going to happen. To say she was unprofessional, I think, is a bit unfair. And so I do agree with you. This is very concerning. I feel for the patient, but I see no logic to move this to an informal hearing. But that's just my opinion. Thank you.
Any other comments? Are you ready to call the question?
The question before you on complaint 2002, Ms. Lindsay Hoover, physical therapist, is to move this in blank to an informal hearing. Mr. Clinton?
Yes.
Dr. Cornwall?
Yes.
Ms. Remick?
Nay.
Mr. Greer?
No.
Ms. Hunter?
No.
Dr. Bastillo?
No.
Dr. King?
No.
The motion fails.
I make a motion to dismiss this case.
Second.
You're in discussion?
All right. Any discussion about the new motion?
I think it was well captured by Dr. King and Ms. Hunter. Thank you.
The motion before you is to dismiss case 2002, Ms. Lindsay Hoover, physical therapist. Mr. Clinton?
No.
Dr. Cornwall?
No.
Ms. Remick?
Yes.
Mr. Greer?
Yes.
Ms. Hunter?
Yes.
Dr. Bastillo?
Yes.
Dr. King?
Yes.
The motion passes. Complaint 2002 will be dismissed.
Thank you so much, you guys. I appreciate all your help.
Thank you for everyone attending.
If we could pause a minute, we're going to stop the recording and restart it.
Okay. So I'm going to take a short break, couple, 3 minutes.
Okay. Yeah. So we're going to stop the recording at 9:50. We'll come back at 9:55. Thank you.